it's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Come on, let's get going now.
From KMOX Sports.
We're primed and ready.
All day, baby.
Man, let's go.
This is the Gray Bar Sports Open Live. Gray Bar, your distributor for electrical and datacom needs on 104.1 FM, KMOX.
A pleasant good evening Tuesday night here in St. Louis. Joe Pott in for Matt Pauly tonight. Matt just a little bit under the weather, so I am pinch hitting for this edition of the Gray Bar Sports Open Line. Glad to have you along tonight. It'll take us right into Cardinal baseball. We'll have Sports Open Line, essentially a full show. It'll be just a little bit shortened. Our pregame gets underway at 7:45. So all but that last segment in the 7 o'clock hour will be Sports Open Line, and we'll talk really about a lot of things, a lot of different things. We're going to do a little bit of a focus on football here, at least to start this hour and to start the 7 o'clock hour. We're going to hear from Randy Mullman, the longtime public address voice at Faurot Field, who also, as you probably know, a good friend and acquaintance of mine. So we'll chat a little bit about Mizzou, about what that team looks like this year, what it means to have KU back on the schedule, and a W in that game on Saturday. I know that Randy was pleased about that. So we'll chat with him a little bit to start right after the break here. We'll also hear a little bit from Kevin Coleman Jr., the wide receiver, the St. Louis product from Mizzou. He visited with Tom Ackerman on Sunday on Sports on a Sunday morning. So we'll let you hear that. He had a great game against Kansas and a really good conversation as well with Tom on Saturday. In the 7 o'clock hour, I'm going to talk to Missouri State football head coach Ryan Beard. They had a milestone win on Saturday as they have stepped up this year to the FBS level, the Football Bowl subdivision level, as a member of Conference USA. They started their season with a loss at USC. They stayed on the road for week number two and get their first win as an FBS program, beating Marshall with a great last-second drive or late drive, I guess I should say, but they beat Marshall for their first FBS win. So we'll talk to the head coach, Ryan Beard. We'll talk to him not only about that Marshall win, but certainly about the move up in classifications and kind of what that means and what that looks like, and sort of obviously a renewed commitment to football and to athletics in general there at Missouri State. What a cool time to be in Springfield and be a part of everything that's going on there. So we'll talk to him at 7:05. We'll also hear in the 7 o'clock hour from Alex Steen. It's another one that Tom Ackerman had on Sunday. And he, of course, is the GM-to-be, the GM in waiting, I don't know what else to call it. He is going to be the GM of the St. Louis Blues. And, of course, he's been around for a couple of years in an administrative role, in that front office role, after finishing his playing career, kind of learning as he goes and learning on the job. So we'll hear from him. The rookie camp opens tomorrow for the Blues. It's hard to believe we are just about at hockey season. We're already 2 weeks into college football season, really three if you count week zero. We're getting into week two of the NFL season. It's hard for me to believe where time has gone. It feels like we had just gotten into summer, and here we are. We're already getting into fall. Now, the temperatures are going to tell us differently coming up, as far as I know. It's going to be all warm and gross again. We had these nice warm days, cool evenings, like had the windows open at home. Man, it's been really nice, but I guess that comes to an end. Our little false fall is going to go away. So we'll take a break here. We'll step aside. When we come back, we'll talk with Randy Mullman, the public address voice. You hear him at not just for Faurot Field, but a lot of times inside Mizzou Arena as well. He's been doing it for a while. And we'll chat next. That's coming up. This is the Gray Bar Sports Open Line. I'm Joe Pott, in for Matt Pauly, and we're coming right back on KMOX.
Now, back to the Gray Bar Sports Open Line on 104.1 FM, KMOX.
Let's go.
We're back in on the Graybar Sports Open line for a Tuesday night. Joe Pott in for Matt Pauly. He is ailing just a bit. Don't worry. He is he's okay. Just has some issues with the voice, which, as Kevin said, right, that's a tough one in this business. Like, most people can go along, can go about their job when you have a little bit of a rough voice or you're losing your voice or whatever the case. Not in our business. We can't do it. It's like that. That is like, that's our kryptonite. That's the one thing that just shuts it down right away. So best wishes to Matt. He's going to be, he'll come around, come through this. So I'm pinch hitting tonight. And I am pleased to welcome on the show a frequent guest of mine, a good friend of mine, and a great pro in this business in St. Louis and surrounding areas, most notably the public address voice at Faurot Field at Memorial Stadium. That would be Randy Mullman. What's happening, Randy?
Joe, thank you for having me on. I'm hoping Matt Pauly is sipping some of that throat coat tea right now. You know, that throat coat tea is a winner for us in this business.
I was somebody who used to work at SIUE was posting something about a new tea they had found, and I was like, details, please. Like, I need to know all the we need to know all the tricks when it comes to, especially the winter. It gets to be
absolutely.
It gets to be bad. It gets to be bad. Well, let's chat about Mizzou football, because the football team off to a 2-0 start, ranked this week number 25 in the Associated Press poll. First of all, how long have you been the public address voice at Faurot? Because I could not remember.
This is my 16th season as the public address announcer for Mizzou football. Started in 2010 when we were still in the Big 12. Got 2 years of the Big 12 and then SEC from that point on.
A proud Mizzou alum as well, I might add.
Yeah, that's right.
So coming off two good wins, 61-6 over Central Arkansas, obviously never in doubt in that one. A much tougher game, probably a much more fun game. My daughter, by the way, is a junior at Mizzou and was sending me snaps and everything else from inside the student section. But a 42-31 win over KU, first visit for the Jayhawks, first time they've played since 2011. I think it's the first visit since 07, is that right?
19 years. Yeah. I think it was 06.
Yeah, 06. Okay.
First time they played in Columbia because they had a bunch of games in Kansas
That's
City.
Right.
So first time in Columbia in 19 years. And, Joe, I got to tell you, I've worked a lot of games there over my 16 years, 15 plus. That was one of the greatest atmospheres in a college football game I've ever seen or ever been a part of. I mean, you talk about your daughter in the student section. Those students who have never, by the way, seen a Mizzou-Kansas
That's
football
right.
game because of their age, are there, and they understand the rivalry, and they're there, and they were going crazy. It was an absolute blast to call that game.
Are you saying we're old?
Yes, you okay. and I are old. Yes, I am saying
I just wanted to check that for sure. So I'll get back to I do want to get back to that rivalry and it kind of starting over again. Let's talk a little bit about what this team has so far. First of all, schedule wise, you and I were talking about this a month ago when we got together, but six home games to start the season for the Tigers.
Yeah, there's a bye week October 4th, but six home games in 7 weeks. That's unprecedented. That doesn't happen very often. That's really good for Missouri. That allows them to kind of get their game going, get in the flow. The only issue you could see with that is you play all those home games in a row and you go on the road for the first time and all of a sudden it's different and it's right in the middle of the season. So that could be a challenge, but I do love, I mean, you're going to see ranked South Carolina at home in a couple of weeks. You're going to see ranked Alabama at home October 11th before you ever have to hit the road. And I think that's a benefit to Missouri in terms of being able to build something as the SEC season wears on.
As this team got started and as camp broke, you know, we were, I guess, kind of looking forward to a little bit of a QB battle, right, between Sam Horn and Bo Prabula. And it obviously didn't materialize. Unfortunately, Sam Horn gets injured very early in that game against Central Arkansas. Obviously I have no idea like how that would have turned out, but Bo Prabula has been very good under center for Mizzou.
Yeah, and let me say, us when we were in the press box and Sam Horn took that came out for his first play and got hit on the knee and they had to help him off, there was a huge sigh of sadness in the press box because it was his first play of the season. He's already battled injuries in his career. He had a shoulder issue that kept him out 1 year, and that kept him out of a baseball season at Mizzou as well. So he has really been battling it, and just to have that happen was so sad. However, yes, Bo Prabula, wow. I mean, I remember seeing highlight videos of him doing a little digging before the season. Everything was related to his ability to run the ball. I didn't see a lot of video on him being able to throw the ball downfield. There just wasn't a lot of tape out there on that. And he has exceeded expectations. He's got great touch on the deep ball. He makes some very daring throws along the sideline in between the safety and the corner. And when he gets out of the pocket, you don't know if he's going to run it or he's going to throw it. He is a legit weapon, and he's been incredible so far in the first two games.
And the fact that, as you said, there isn't a ton of tape on that, perhaps at least to this point, that is serving the Tigers well, right? To not have, at least to some extent, or at least maybe less video available of that.
Yeah, for sure. And you know as well as I do, he's building that tape now. Other defensive coordinators, other defensive coordinators throughout the SEC are starting to study this guy because it is going to be hard to defend. You know how it is. It is hard to defend a quarterback that is a dual weapon who even though you might be able to get to the pocket or into the pocket or pressure him, once he gets out of the pocket, it's everything is fair game. I mean, you have no idea what he's going to do at that point. And so defensive coordinators are going to be studying that now as he gets more and more tape out there.
30 of 39 against Kansas, 334 yards. He also did run the ball, as mentioned, 9 rushes there. So, yeah, without a doubt, to have that dual threat back there makes a huge difference. Again, whether he would have emerged or not, I don't know, but it's I certainly don't want to say it's some kind of blessing, right? That's not what I mean. But it has been Mizzou has been fortunate that is how it's turned out with regards to how he has played.
Yeah, for sure. And I'll also say I don't want to leave out the running game. Coach Drink, you know, we talk about Coach Drink's offense and how it is kind of high flying. They'll run up and down the field. They have a very potent offense in terms of a passing attack. But Coach Drink loves to run the football. And for most quarterbacks that play at this level or even in the NFL, everyone talks about the quarterback. But if you don't have a solid running game to rely on, that quarterback is kind of left out on an island. And getting this transfer from Louisiana, Ahmad Hardy, he has been as advertised so far, second in the SEC in rushing. He'll run 3, 4, 5 yards at a time, and then boom, he breaks one for 20-22. He is another threat. Jamal Roberts from St. Louis.
St. Mary's,
St. Mary's here in St. Louis has taken took some of the load off last week when they were running on Kansas, and he had a big game. This is a legit running game that only helps Bo Prabula on Saturdays.
No doubt about it. We're visiting with Randy Mullman, the public address voice of the Missouri Tigers at Faurot Field, as well as for many games inside Mizzou Arena for Mizzou basketball. We're talking football right now. I said I wanted to get back to it because we talked about the fact that most of the students in the stands on Saturday had not been around for a Kansas-Mizzou game, which is crazy for the rest of us to think about for how long that rivalry lasted up until, obviously, Missouri left for the SEC. And conference realignment has done that all over the place in college football. I don't necessarily think, I mean, I understand it. I don't necessarily think that's a good thing, though.
Yeah, I'm torn on this, Joe. The old school fan in me, of course, loves the rivalry. Look, I think Missouri has two great rivalries outside of conference, Kansas and Illinois. Mm-hmm. And I really wish they'd play football every year. I wish Mizzou would play them every year. But to your point, with conference realignment and Mizzou now out of the Big 12 and now being in a different conference than Kansas, a different conference than Illinois, you can't play – you just simply can't play a non-conference schedule where you're playing two Power 4 opponents and then playing your SEC schedule. It just – you're flirting with disaster when you schedule like that. As much as I would love to see it, although in 2 years, I do believe Kansas and Illinois are both on the schedule in 2 years, but that's beside the point. I do think to take the rivalry out of conference, look, Texas and Texas A&M was also another century-long rival that they were separated until Texas joined the SEC. Oregon and Oregon State no longer in the same crowd. There's plenty of them around the country. Yeah. You're very right about that. But on the other side of it, you know, we're in a new era of college football, and I mean, we kind of just have to jump on, or it's just going to leave us old guys behind.
Oh, you're right. And now that Oklahoma's back in the SEC, you do have a sort of quote traditional rivalry back between the Tigers and the Sooners.
Yeah, for sure. And I wonder, you know, as the SEC goes to a 9-game schedule, the rumor is this hasn't been, this is not a fact or anything, but the rumor is that when Missouri gets their every year 3-team rivalry, like a little pod system where you play 3 teams every year outside of the rest of the SEC, that Oklahoma will be included in that they will be reigniting that Missouri-Oklahoma game every year.
Yeah, it makes sense. I think that, I mean, those kind of things make sense. And when you have the opportunity within your conference to continue some of those rivalry games, obviously I think that's a good thing. And that's, you know, you think about another one that is obviously within the SEC is Alabama-Auburn. So you think about some of those rivalries that do still exist within conferences.
Yes, for sure. And I think most of the traditional rivals across the country have kind of stayed intact, right? But there are those, the one-offs, the Missouri-Kansas, the Texas and the Texas A&M game for years and years. I do think, however, that the conferences, even with this realignment, have held on to most of the traditional rivals.
Let's be honest, it's mostly because Kansas was jealous anyway.
I mean, you said it. I'll agree with you. I will wholeheartedly.
That's what it feels like, right? Like they just they were jealous. They didn't.
Joe, I remember at the time they felt spurned.
They felt
like, look, this is a rivalry that we've had for 100 years, and you are leaving us. And you did it without even asking. You know what I mean? Like I think it definitely had something to do with it. Yeah.
But I will say, and I 100% agree with you, and I understand exactly what you're saying on scheduling. The other thing I will say is that in this day and age, athletics departments absolutely have to look out for number one.
They do, and I know fans hate to hear it, but you cannot play in the SEC, you cannot play in the Big Ten, and schedule 3 or 4 non-conference games against other power conferences. You just can't do it because – I'm sorry, but you have to build up the goal of getting to the playoff and playing for a national championship still comes back to winning football games. And yes, I understand winning games against smaller conference opponents is not ideal, but if you load up that non-conference schedule, you are not doing yourself any favors going into your power conference schedule. It's just impossible. You cannot do it.
And when it comes to the opportunity that Mizzou took to leave the Big 12 to go to the SEC, that part as well. You owe it to your department, your university, ultimately your fans to make that move if you have that opportunity.
Oh, no doubt, especially the money that comes in from the SEC, you know. And the other thing too, Joe, I know no one would ever admit this, but if you pulled the powers that be at Mizzou at the time when they moved, you know, Gary Pinkel was the head coach for Missouri. Mike Alden was the athletic director. The foresight they had to push this university into the best football conference in America was unbelievable. But I got to tell you, I know a ton of Mizzou fans who at first thought I don't know how we're going to survive in football, and I think we're going to dominate in basketball. And it kind of, for a long time, was the opposite. Mizzou football has done very well in the SEC, middle of the pack in terms of record since joining the conference, two SEC championship games, and the basketball program has had to build to where they are now, and Coach Dennis Gates has it going in the right direction. But it was a little bit, I think it was a little surprising, even for us as fans.
Indeed. Randy, I have already kept you longer than I promised that I would, so I will let you go, but I appreciate you as always and big time for jumping on at late notice today.
Yeah, no problem, Joe. Thanks for having me. Anytime.
Good to chat with you. That's Randy Mullman, the PA voice at Mizzou, talking about Mizzou football. We'll keep the conversation there with Mizzou football. We'll hear from the wide receiver, Kevin Coleman Jr. That's coming up when we come back on the Gray Bar Sports Open Line right here on KMOX.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Now, back to the Gray Bar Sports Open Line on 104.1 FM, KMOX.
Kerbula, up the seam, and he's got it complete. Kevin Coleman on the move! Coleman shot out of bounds near the goal line.
Wow, Kevin Coleman Jr. had a game. 10 catches, 126 yards, and a touchdown for the St. Louis product. We welcome in the Mizzou wide receiver, the St. Mary's product, Kevin Coleman, to KMOX. How are you, Kevin? Congrats on the win over KU.
Yes, sir. I'm doing great. Appreciate that.
It's good to talk to you. Kevin, I first met you in a suite at the Bragging Rights game, and we exchanged phone numbers. And what we talked about, I can tell the audience, it's fine, is like, you know, you and I should do some radio sometime. You brought it up to me, like, hey, you and I should talk sometime. Well, here we are. I mean, we booked this interview before you went off on the Jayhawks because you have a bag of chips coming out that I want to tell people about. But man, I mean, you've got to be still thinking such great thoughts and memories floating into your mind about yesterday at Faurot Field.
Man, that was a dream come true, man. I knew the rivalry and the history it had upon both states. And just to come out with the win, being down 15, and just overcome adversity with a great group of guys and brothers I have, man, couldn't be more special than what it was.
One of my favorite things that I heard from you yesterday was an interview you did with my friend Tamar Scher of KMOV on the field. And when she asked you about your accomplishments, you said, my favorite play was my block for Jamal Roberts. And I love that. Tell me how that developed.
Man, first just practice habits. Shout out to Coach Pillar. He helped me create a lot of great practice habits when it comes to blocking. He's on the receivers about every small detail. Especially at practice, because, you know, practice is going to turn into game day reality. Your practice habits. So, sorry about that. Yeah, so when I made the block, it was just like a day of practice. And I just heard Coach Pillar screaming at him, you got to make the block. But right before that play, I told Jamal Roberts, hey, the GB and Coach Luber, the running backs coach, the GBs are about to be the ones that end this game. And when I seen the signal come in, I knew Jamal Roberts was going to get it. I knew I had to make the block so he can be special and do the rest. That's just my high school friend. Sorry about that. Yeah. No, that's just my high school. I mean, not my high school friend, but my high school teammate and a guy I grew up with since we were kids. And, man, to see him happy and see him smiling and make the big-time play to close the game, that's bigger than what I did.
Yeah. I was going to mention to the audience there that's the extra part of it, is that not only is he a St. Louis kid, but he's a St. Mary's grad like you, a redshirt sophomore who, you know, you've seen growing up. I mean, what a special thing to have all of this St. Louis presence on this Missouri football team right now.
No, yes, sir. Just trying to put on for the city. And so the guys that's come after us, it's possible to stay consistent, have good character, and just keep moving forward.
When you fell behind early in the game, what is it like on the sideline? And specifically, what does Coach Drinkwitz bring to this team in moments like that?
Man, the sideline, everyone was just poised. Everyone was calm, but everyone was moving with a sense of urgency. The energy definitely had to be brought up. Momentum had to be flipped. And we told each other we just got to play complimentary football. Get a stop, we'll score. Defense get a stop, the offense will score. So we just kept uplifting each other and just being there for one another. I didn't see no complaining, no one blaming each other. It was just this play mentality. And Coach Drink, he the one that installed that into the whole team. Stay poised, stay calm. Things are going to happen. Football teaches you life lessons. Things are going to happen, but it's about how you respond. So when we got down, we practiced moments being down. It was another day of practice, just in front of a crowd, so a bigger crowd. So when we was down, man, everybody was like, bro, we got time. As long as it's time on the clock, never give up. So that was our mentality.
Kevin Coleman Jr. is with us, transferred back home to his state of Missouri from Mississippi State. They had a big win yesterday, beating Arizona State. Kevin, 42-31 over KU. I mean, it was great. And it's also, you know, in this day and age where you're transferring schools, you have to be able to create a bond and a chemistry with your teammates and, of course, in your position with your quarterback. But I'm hearing and seeing that things are going very well between you and Bo Prabula.
Yes, sir. Nah, Bo's a great guy. Great guy off the field and a great guy on the field. He's a guy that's trying to spread the ball, spread the love around. Just a great guy. Great arms, mobile. Man, he got everything, but he's a special guy and very important to this offense.
And so is Kevin Coleman Jr., who wears number 3, as Luther Burden III did. And how much of that do you think about carrying on what he did at Mizzou?
No, that number right there, number 3, always been a part of who I am. But definitely Luther Burden wearing it and leaving a legacy in it. My thing is I want to leave my legacy in it, but I also have to leave it better than I found it. So that's my thing, just leave it better than I found it. So the next guy that wears that jersey, know the shoes he's stepping into and knowing what he's dealing with, and he needs to leave it better than he found it. But also, we're just trying to carry that St. Louis legacy, you know?
Absolutely.
I always play around and throw that out there and say, the next guy I want to wear the jersey is another St. Louis guy, but he need to be prepared for what comes with it.
Now, I teased people about the chips, so let me close with that and talk a couple of minutes with you about Snack Fanatics and the Red Hot Honey Barbecue flavored Ridge potato chips, which I've already had a bag and they're phenomenal. But I remember when Luther had his, and so up in the corner of the bag it says, same great taste, new number 3. Kevin Coleman Jr. has a special edition potato chips. They're sold inside Faro concessions, by the way, but here in St. Louis you can get them at Schnucks stores, and some other STL players are going to have special flavors as well. But that had to have been great. I know that when it came to NIL deals, this is one you wanted.
Man, this is the one I wanted. It's a dream come true. Shout out Ken Dubuski and the rest of the people that helped me get this opportunity and be blessed with this opportunity. But, man, it's a dream come true. Growing up where I grew up in St. Louis, going into convenience stores and seeing different celebrities on chips and thinking like, man, one day if that was me, that'd be a dream come true. And coming back to my home state and playing for my home state, that was already a dream come true. Then getting some chips that I'd seen celebrities be on as a kid, and then now I'm that guy on the chips, man, it's just a dream come true and a blessing. I appreciate everyone that helped me out.
They're so good. My review on the chips, they hit you with that sweet barbecue taste. Ooh. At first, and then that heat creeps in later, right? A few seconds later, that heat creeps in, but man, they're good. I ate a whole bag watching football yesterday.
Hey, that spice gets you. After the game, I was starving. But I ate me a bag of chips. I'm like, okay, it's good, because I already had tried them. But then that spice kicked in. I'm like, oh, I need some water.
Yeah. Yeah. They're so good. I have a picture of the bag for our viewers here. This is, of course, KMOX Radio, but we're also streaming online so that viewers can see what it looks like. But it'll be easy to find at Schnucks. You just grab the bag that has Kevin's picture on it. He's pointing at you. He's holding a football in his left hand and pointing at you, saying, buy this bag of chips, in his right hand. It's really great. I'm excited for you. I mean this. When I first met you, just a great vibe about you. I think you have what it takes, not only obviously to be a great player in the SEC, which you've already proven, but I think a great representative and living a life that, can be an example for these teammates. So thank you for what you do.
Yes, sir. I appreciate that. Appreciate the recognition. Shout out to my parents for helping me out and my coaches.
Well, good luck the rest of the way. It's going to be a fun ride, and congrats on the win over KU.
Yes, sir. Thank you. Have a great one.
You too. That's Mizzou wide receiver Kevin Coleman Jr.
And that's Tom Ackerman from Sunday Morning on Sports on a Sunday Morning here on KMOX. Joe Pott in for Matt Pauly tonight on the Gray Bar Sports Open Line. So a little Mizzou football there to start you off in the 6 o'clock hour. We're going to get to some Missouri State football in the 7 o'clock hour. We have just a couple more minutes left in this hour. We'll take a break, come back, wrap up the 6, and we'll be back for the 7. We're coming back on the Gray Bar Sports Open Line right here on KMOX.
Now, back to the Gray Bar Sports Open Line on 104.1 FM, KMOX.
Joe Pott in for Matt Pauly on this edition of the Gray Bar Sports Open Line here on this Sunday night. Of course, we're ahead of Cardinal Baseball. That will come your way beginning with our pregame show at 7:45 tonight. So basically a full show tonight as far as the Sports Open Line goes, and then we'll be on to the pregame show as normal. Again, that could start at 7:45. First pitch tonight is 8:40, the Cards and the Mariners. George Kirby will start for the Mariners tonight, Matthew Liberatore for the Cards. And, of course, we'll have all your all the info you need coming up on the Ameren Total Access on the pregame show. And, of course, I will have you on a very late-night edition of our postgame show. So if you're still around, join us then. Come back and comment and chat and call in, and we can talk all the Cardinals baseball we want, maybe after midnight tonight, depending on how long that game lasts. It's going to be a late one. That's the that's the burden of playing the West Coast games. And I need to give a shout-out to my SIUE Cougars, because the men's basketball team announcing their their non-conference schedule today. The Ohio Valley Conference schedule was announced previously, and that gets started in December. But before that, the non-conference schedule out, a couple of really good games coming up at First Community Arena. You can see Indiana State coming to Edwardsville. Western Michigan is going to come to Edwardsville. The Cougars are going to be on the road at Drake. They're going to be on the road at Wisconsin. They're going to play a multi-team event out at Air Force, where they'll face Air Force and Alabama State coming up. That's in at the end of November. They're going to go to North Florida. North Florida was in Edwardsville last year, so they'll go to North Florida. And then they've got some non-Division One games, as is per usual. Well, they'll also go to Texas San Antonio, so that'll be all coming up starting at the beginning of November. I mean, it is coming quick, and there'll be an exhibition game coming up there at the end of October as well, which they have not yet ironed out the details for that. So you can keep watching for that, because that's going to be a whole cool thing. The exhibition game, of course, the Cougars coming off a 22-win season a year ago, a trip to the NCAA tournament for the first time at the Division I level, and Ohio Valley Conference Championship for the first time. In fact, first conference championship for the program. So that even goes back to the GLVC days at the Division II level. So they did that last year. So historic run last year. I can tell you, too, certainly as the season sort of picked up momentum, definitely as they got into Ohio Valley Conference play, First Community Arena, those tickets were hard to get. It is a tremendous place to see a basketball game. They have opened up the second level, so it is a standing room area. You've got concessions up there. You've got a kids area up there. You've got food. You've got drink. You've got a couple of local drinks, a couple of local brews that are made just for the Cougars. So you want to come out and experience all of that. That is the best way to do it is season tickets. They are on sale now. Single game tickets don't go on sale till October, but the season tickets do. They are on sale as we speak. And I cannot, obviously, I'm biased. I've been there for a long time, but it is become a place to go be seen, to see and be seen, really. It has become a social event in the Metro East. It's so very close here to St. Louis, so I would invite you to come out. But non-conference schedule released today, and going to be another fun year, I think, for the SIUE Cougars. So Lots of good stuff going on locally. We're going to talk to Missouri State football head coach Ryan Beard. My man Daniel, who's on the other side in that little box there, if you're watching the stream, he's a Lindenwood guy. That's another Ohio Valley Conference school. That's a school now that is a full-fledged Division I member. That happened over the summer. So you're talking about a great rivalry, by the way, between SIUE and Lindenwood in a bunch of sports. Men's soccer, one of those sports. They've played some really good games over the years. But basketball, a big rivalry. Southeast Missouri State's in the Ohio Valley Conference, and that is also a nice rivalry between SIUE and SEMO. I know between SEMO and Lindenwood. So you're talking about some really good local basketball, but local sports in total. Daniel was talking to me about the hockey. They're going to have a ton of home games at Lindenwood, so that's pretty cool as well. Lots of good things to do and check out. And again, we'll talk to the head football coach at Missouri State. That is Ryan Beard. That's coming up just after the news here as we get into the second hour of the Gray Bar Sports Open Line. Big thanks to Randy Molman. Thanks to Tom Ackerman for letting us steal that interview from Sunday as well. We've got more. We've got lots to come here in the 7 o'clock hour. Joe Pott in for Matt Pauly tonight. Matt's under the weather. He'll be back this week. We're coming back after the news on Camo X.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Come on, let's get going now.
From KMOX Sports.
We're primed and ready.
All day, baby.
Man, let's go.
This is the Gray Bar Sports Open Live. Gray Bar, your distributor for electrical and datacom needs on 104.1 FM, KMOX.
Joe Pott back in on KMOX, in for Matt Pauly tonight as we welcome you back for hour number two of the Gray Bar Sports Open Line. And our next guest already on the line, I do not want to keep him waiting any longer. We welcome to the program the head football coach at Missouri State University. That is Ryan Beard. And first and foremost, coach, congrats on the first win as an FBS program coming this week.
Thank you, sir. What a huge weekend it was for the Missouri State Bears and everybody in the Springfield Ozarks area, man. It was top-notch win against a good Marshall team. It was a good time to set the table.
21-20, the final score, 474 yards of total offense. Did take a good game-capping drive down the stretch, but I can't imagine like what that feeling was like too. I know, as maybe people don't know, but Missouri State making the jump from the Missouri Valley Conference to Conference USA, from the FCS level to the FBS level, that is not just a, okay, snap your fingers and we're there. That's a process. And to get from the start of that process to the win on Saturday has to be very gratifying for you and for, as you said, everybody at the university and within the athletics department.
Oh, what a tremendous feat. I mean, it's not like we went into some no-name team and won. Marshall was coming off a 15-year home opener win streak. They win about 82% of their games at home, and we were able to go in and kind of impose our will a little bit on them. I know it was a close game, but we had some flags here and there and some mishaps, but our guys finished off the right way, and it's a ton of positive momentum moving forward.
Yeah, you don't roll up 474 yards without doing something right. Your quarterback, Jacob Clark, you've got a very experienced quarterback in Jacob Clark. He is a 25-year-old quarterback in his fourth season with the Bears, but he spent some time at Minnesota before that. So he brings a lot of experience to you and what you are doing in this move to FBS, doesn't he?
He does. Being a veteran like that and with age comes wisdom, I would like to think. And he is. He's an older guy. He's played a lot of football. He's seen a lot of things. He's been able to learn from some really good coaches. And the way he sees the game, the way he, just makes his progressions. And then the one thing you saw on Saturday, his ability to run when things aren't moving down the field was maybe what won the game for us. And he's a tremendous talent. He's on a lot of guys' lists for the NFL. So he's set to have a big year.
I kind of mentioned the process a little bit, but take us through that a little bit, just kind of like what the last couple of years have been like. You were a top 25 ranked team at the end of last year in the FCS. But to get to that point, to get to making that move to Conference USA, to making that step up in subdivision, just kind of talk about what that process has been like.
Oh, man, it's been a tough road to plow. I mean, when we got here 5 years ago, Missouri State had been dead in the water for 30 years. We just kind of had to revive the program, bring in hope. And we did just that. When Coach Petrino was the head coach, I was a defensive coordinator. We were able to go to the playoffs back-to-back years in the FCS. And when I took over, we went 4-7 the first year, then went 8-4. And I think we're on track to have a good year this year. And it's just one of those things that you said it earlier. It's not easy because our infrastructure is lacking. We need the resources. We need the buy-in from the community. And I think that's finally there. It's such a good feeling around town right now, the excitement. Everybody from St. Louis to Kansas City to Tulsa, the whole triangle is talking about the Missouri State Bears, and there's nowhere to go but up.
Coach, you raise a good point. We're talking with Ryan Beard, the head coach at Missouri State. You raise a really good point because when we started off, you were talking about Springfield and the Ozarks, but you mentioned Tulsa and St. Louis and Kansas City, and there has to be that kind of buy-in, right?
100%. I mean, we need community support, and you know, when you look at these teams like our week one opponent, USC, I mean, that's a $30 million roster. That doesn't just come from hopes and wishes. That comes from relationships around the community pouring into the program and understanding kind of what it takes to win. And I think, again, we finally got to that point where we have a solid team. We have an unbelievable coaching staff, and the vibes have never been higher around the program.
You've got three straight home games coming up. I know that you've got to be looking forward to that. Your home opener coming up against a very good SMU team this week, but the chance to kind of get into your routine as a team, as a program at home, that can make a big difference, can it?
Man, it feels good. I mean, the first 2 weeks we went coast to coast. I mean, we got home from USC at 6 a.m. and you're sitting there going, oh, we got to go back to the East Coast next week. That's what people don't understand, that the feat that we just did with going to Marshall and winning that football game after going to the West Coast, it just speaks volumes of our players and our staff and how good of a job they did being resilient. And I cannot tell you how nice it will be to be able to sleep in our own bed and, you know, get in a normal routine of having some home games. And again, the excitement that comes with having a home game with our home fans, with everyone that supports our program, to be able to come and cheer us on, it's life-giving to our football team.
I have to tell you, I have to tell the listeners as well, I have a daughter soon to be in college. We were actually in Springfield this summer during one of the open houses looking at campus, which was just, I mean, honestly, tremendous for all of us to be down there. But everybody wearing their Bears shirt with the CUSA logo on it, it felt to me, just even on a summer, I think it was a Friday, a summer Friday, it felt to me like there was that momentum building.
There's no doubt. This thing's for real. And listen, tell her there's no place like Mo State and to come on and be a Bear.
Well, she
and
just got admitted. I can tell you. We just got the letter this week. So,
well, tell her congratulations. I think that she can red mark every other school on her list and feel confident in coming to Missouri State. Because they're literally in the history of this school has never been a better time to be a part of it. The energy is there. The resources are coming slowly but surely. We're everything infrastructure-wise. And you hit it. The campus is unbelievably beautiful. I mean, it's well-maintained. There's no trash. There's no, you know, everyone's safe. And that's why we do such a good job recruiting, because we have great people. And the campus community itself is top-notch.
Head coach Ryan Beard with us here from the Missouri State Bears. Coach, the Conference USA opener for your program, September 27th, Western Kentucky, happens to be against your alma mater, Western Kentucky. I cannot imagine the range of emotions, how special that is going to be to play that first Conference USA game against Western Kentucky.
Yeah, how surreal is that? I mean, that's where I kind of cut my teeth as a player, had a good career. Western Kentucky gave me a lot. But it's Bears all day through and through right now. It's we're going to do whatever it takes to stay competitive and hope to come out with a win. And the cool thing about it is I've been entrenched in the Bowling Green community for a long time. That's where Western Kentucky is located. And we're going to have private jets coming into town to support the Bears, not the Hilltoppers. So that's where we're at right now. Missouri State's becoming not just a local brand, but a national brand. And we're earning people's respect on a daily basis.
And I think if people don't realize it, Plaster Stadium is a tremendous spot to see a game. There is not a bad seat there. It is. I can't imagine what that's going to be like on Saturday.
No, that's the best part about it, you know, because some venues you go to, and if you're high, you don't have a very good view of the field. Every single seat in the stadium has premium view. You can see everything. You'll even be able to hear. Hopefully, I don't have to get after the referees too much, but, you know, hopefully everybody's cheering loud enough so they can overcome that. But it's a great place to come watch a game. If you're in the area, come check us out. If you're on the fence whether or not to support Missouri State football, now is the time to get in because we're going nowhere but up.
Ryan Beard, the head coach of Missouri State, with us. Coach, what does Conference USA look like this year? What are the challenges? What do the Bears have to do to compete in conference?
Yeah, it's a mixed bag. I think we just need to stay consistent. Again, sometimes, and I told our team this, we got beat down by USC, and you know, I say this all the time, you can't get too low when people are on your head about how bad you are, and then you can't get too high when people are telling you how great you are. We have to be consistent. We know who we are. We trust our processes. And our players believe. We've got some talent in that locker room, and we got an unbelievable quarterback that can steer the wheel of the offense. And, you know, who knows what's going to happen. I think we have a good chance to be competitive.
You know, I hear it a lot. We hear it from coaches in a lot of sports, right? Trust the process, do those things. But in all honesty, when you have and you and your staff, this is obviously year number three as the head coach, but you were there, as you mentioned previously, as the defensive coordinator. When you get to this point, it really is about trusting all of those two-a-days and everything that all of the work that they have put in to get to this point.
Yeah, it's big for us, and I'm going to be quite frank with you. These guys are not here. These coaches are not here because they get paid a bunch of money, because they have a bunch of nice bells and whistles. These kids are here, and these coaches are here because they believe in what we're doing. They believe that we can get them to the level they want to play at. We can win football games, and we can develop them to be the best people and players that they possibly can be. That's the beauty of Missouri State. It's not transactional like a bunch of places. Oh, we're going there for the money. We're doing this and that. They come for the development. They come for the joy in playing football, and that's a lost art nowadays, and we take pride in that.
2:30 on Saturday afternoon, it's Missouri State playing host to SMU in the home opener, the first home game as an FBS program. Head coach Ryan Beard, we certainly appreciate you taking some time tonight. Congrats on that win, and good luck for many more.
No, thanks so much for having me. And listen, tell your daughter she's making the right decision. Come to Missouri State. She'll be happy. And go Bears.
I love it, Coach. Thank you so much.
Take care.
Ryan Beard with us here, the head coach at Missouri State, making the jump from the Missouri Valley to Conference USA, getting that first win at Marshall on Saturday. SMU coming up this Saturday at home, 2:30 on Saturday. We'll take a break. We'll come back. We'll hear from Alex Steen. He is the general manager in waiting for your St. Louis Blues. That's coming up on the other side of the break. Joe Pott in for Matt Pauly tonight. It's the Gray Bar Sports Open Line, and we are coming back on KMOX.
Now, back to the Gray Bar Sports Open Line on 104.1 FM, KMOX.
Alexander Steen, a Stanley Cup champion, and he is the GM in waiting. He will be replacing Doug Armstrong when Armstrong's contract runs out. And it is great to have Steiner with us on KMOX once again. Good morning. How are you?
Good morning. Thanks for having me, guys. I'm good. Yourselves?
Doing great. It's great to be with you. And I've got to say that hockey couldn't come soon enough. I know it's a short offseason, but this team, I think, has a real shot. I'm just curious, kind of get this out of the way things ended last year, how nice is it to be able to get on the ice? And as painful as it was, how quickly can you brush that away and start anew, knowing what you have?
Well, the summer is a good time for it. It's, you know, you whenever the summer feels this long, it's always a positive. You guys heal up and the excitement starts to build getting back into training camp, which is just around the corner now. But I think there's a humility to that second half. I think we understand the work that was put in throughout the course of the season to get us into a position that we were in at the end. And, you know, for us, it's about building back those habits and almost starting over again building all those consistencies in our game and in our preparation, the way we conducted ourselves in order to come out of the gates with a good start here.
The rookies report to camp on Wednesday. They'll hit the ice at Centene for practice on Thursday and Friday, and then they'll travel to Minnesota to play prospects from the Wild and the Blackhawks. You get right after it. What do you like about the youth of this team right now?
Well, it's been interesting. They've obviously grown together now. Like, they've gotten a connection with each other. They stay in touch throughout the course of the seasons, and especially during the summer. And then they get to get together like this and compete as a group for a couple of games. I think, you know, especially for a chunk of the guys, this past summer has been a good summer. Like, it'll be interesting to see the growth that's happened with everybody. But there's an age group there where this is the first summer where they're not really pulled in a lot of different directions. They've been able to have sort of build their routines and focus on the quality of their training and also being able to have some family time. Like, there was no real pull for, you know, national team camps and draft and combines and development camps. And so there's a lot going on during the summer, and then this year would be the first year where a lot of them have a chance to really put some muscle onto their frame and come in here with a big excitement and prepared and ready to go.
And there's some great names too. I mean, Snuggerud and Kyrou, and you know, you look at the what Dylan Holloway might be able to do. Kyrou is more of a veteran now, but you know, there's so much like potential just sitting right there in terms of scoring. That's exciting. And then defense, how do you think that has lined up, especially your offseason additions, Alex?
Well, good. I mean, we were very enthusiastic about our younger players are taking steps. Logan Mayhew, the addition, you know, it's going to be interesting to see. He's looked very prepared and very, very eager to get going here. We have a good mix with our veteran presence there on the back end is phenomenal with their leadership and just how they play the game on both sides of the puck. And so there's a good balance and a lot of support for the guys as they're entering into this season.
Full training camp starts on the 17th, and then Doug Armstrong will have his opening season press conference. I always love listening to what he has to say. Your relationship seems so good. Every time we have Army on the air, he speaks very highly of how you have absorbed, and not to mention Mr. Stillman when we have him on, about how you have absorbed everything. How do you observe and take in what you're given as you know what's coming, that you will be running this front office?
Well, first and foremost, the people that I'm surrounded by and that Doug and Tom have surrounded themselves with, it's a joy to work with everyone. The support that they've given me and the time that they've given me with my learning and going through the experiences I've gone through in the last year and a bit, I would say almost 2 years. And, you know, being able to work as closely to Doug and I got here around the same time and worked together for a long time as manager, player, and similar relationship but different roles. And you know, he pushed me as an athlete and certainly made me push my ceiling and see how far I could take it. And now he's doing a similar thing but on this side of the game. So it's obviously very humble and honored to be in this position, and it's been a great experience. I feel like I'm soaking in as much as I possibly can, and support from the players and everyone's been fantastic. So I'm excited to get going on another season here.
Time marches on, but It is so much fun. It feels like it just happened, although it's been 6+ years since he won the Stanley Cup. It was just, I mean, I think it's a party that we're still recovering from here in St. Louis, to be honest with you. That was, I've never seen anything like it. I mean, the party, the excitement, the fun that we had here in St. Louis in the summer of 19.
I agree. And it's just unique. I noticed it when I first moved here, and it's why we want to raise our kids here. The connection that the sports teams, and especially us Blues, have with the city and the fans and the community, it's unique. I think I haven't experienced it. I've been to different places and haven't experienced it to this level. And I think it's why we feel that way in moments like that, is because they are shared with each other. It was unique. That's for sure.
There's a great connection between the fans and this team. You can go see them practice at Centene. The first preseason home game, September 27th against the Blackhawks. Single game tickets for all preseason and regular season games are available now at Ticketmaster.com. And they have those new Blues jerseys on sale this week at STLAuthentics.com and in the team store at Enterprise Center. I really look forward to this upcoming season. And, of course, what's to come in the NHL? Just a new season is upon us, optimism, but also excitement. Just getting hockey back again, Steiner, it's going to be great.
Yes, it is. We're looking forward to getting back to work, getting everybody back in the dressing room. And like I said, we got a lot of work to do, but everybody's kind of chomping at the bit right now to get going. So it's a good feeling, and look forward to seeing everybody down at the Enterprise Center here soon.
Great to be with you on KMOX. We'll catch up with you soon. Have a great day.
Yep. Thanks for having me, Tom.
Thank you. Alex Steen with us on KMOX.
That is Tom Ackerman and Alex Steen from the Blues front office. Of course, he'll be the GM following Doug Armstrong, and the Blues rookies do report to camp tomorrow, so we are that much closer to Blues hockey being back. It is hard to imagine, but we are, we are right there. It is around the corner. Cardinal baseball is also around the corner here on KMOX. It's a little bit closer than hockey season is because it's actually like 10 minutes away. Or 15, that we'll get started with the pregame show. So that's coming up at 7:45. We'll take a break here. We've got just a couple more minutes to wrap up here on Sports Open Line, and then we'll be off and running for the pregame show, and the Cards and the Mariners are up late tonight. Hope you stay up late with us as well. Joe Pott in for Matt Pauly. We're coming back on KMOX.
Now, back to the Graybar Sports Open Line on 104.1 FM, KMOX.
Joe Pott back with you for a couple more minutes on the Graybar Sports Open Line, and then it is off to a Cardinals baseball here tonight. Pregame show gets underway at 7:45, so we'll break at 7:40, and then we'll be back at 7:45 with the start of the pregame show. Big thanks to the folks at Missouri State and to Matt Pauly for setting up that interview that we had with Ryan Beard, the head coach at Missouri State for Missouri State football. They had that big win against Marshall. We appreciate it, but Matt set that up before he realized, before that he was going to be out, because he just kind of went under the weather today. So, again, Joe Pott sitting in for Matt. Matt will be back. We expect Matt to be back tomorrow. That's what we hope for. And hopefully he is feeling better as well. But he set that interview up, so we certainly appreciate that. Thanks to Tom Ackerman, who did, of course, a couple interviews we had here tonight with both Alexander Steen as well as Kevin Coleman, the wide receiver at Mizzou that you heard earlier. Looking ahead to the Redbirds, they get started tonight against Seattle at 8:40. That's the first pitch Central Time. Matthew Liberatore is going to go out and make the start here tonight. And Liberatore has looked better of late. I still think that this is one of those things where they want Matthew Liberatore to finish the season as a regular starter, go have a regular offseason, and prepare to be a second-year starter next year. I think the exact same thing, by the way, about Michael McGreevy. That's really where they are headed, is that they want everything this year to feel like just like what it would be from year to year as a starter. That's why I think that they shut down Matthew Liberatore for a couple of starts at the All-Star break, because as opposed to holding him back or shutting him down to start September or whatever that case would have been, whatever the option would have been, I think that that is why they did that in July after the All-Star break, so that you could then have him get right to the end of the year despite pushing the limits of innings pitched and everything that he has done, but they want him to feel what it feels like to finish off this season, have a regular starters off season, whatever that throwing program looks like, everything that he's going to do, and go into spring training as part of this rotation. And again, Michael McGreevy, same thing, right? As soon as he got into the rotation as a regular, that's what the goal is. Get him to the end of the year, pitching as a starter, pitching every fifth day, doing all of the things the starters do, reviewing his starts, the bullpen day, adjusting, getting ready for the next lineup that he's going to face. All those things, go into the offseason, have your throwing program, and get ready to go to spring training as a member of the starting rotation. That's what they're doing with those guys. These are the two that are going to be the center of your rotation, I think. That doesn't mean you don't go out and get maybe a number one, or you don't go out and fill in around them, but I think these are two solid pieces of your rotation. So Matthew Liberatore tonight, he's up against the right-hander George Kirby tonight. Kirby's 8-7 with a 4.47. Liberatore's got a 4.15 ERA and a 7-11 record as they get started tonight. So that is what is coming up here on KMOX. Thanks also to Randy Mullman. I didn't want to not thank him because he stepped in last second as well. He's a good go-to, good friend to have when you find out that you're going to be hosting the show. During the day, you want to have some folks you can lean on to help you out, and I certainly appreciate him doing that. So thanks to you for spending some time with us tonight as well. We'll take a we're coming up on the break here in just a bit, and then we'll have Cardinals baseball to come. And it's going to be a late night, so if you're hanging around now and you're listening and maybe you thought, maybe, man, I wish you would have had a chance to comment. I wish I would have had a chance to call in. I promise you, you'll have that chance. It might come very early on Wednesday morning, right? But you will still have that chance. It might be like after midnight tonight. It depends on how long this game lasts tonight between the Cards and the Mariners. But I will be up and I will be with you in the post game, and we'll be able to talk all about it there. And we can chat about any number of things when it comes to the Redbirds after the game tonight. However late that may be, I assure you I'll be here. Daniel's going to be here on the other side of the board, so we're going to have everybody covered with regards to that. Cards play, Cards start today, rather, 4.5 games out in the National League wildcard race. So, yes, mathematically, there still is an opportunity for the Redbirds as far as postseason. I don't think that's what the focus is, but it is certainly still a realistic possibility if they you know, get hot, keep playing some good baseball. They're coming off of 3 consecutive series wins. You keep doing things like that, and who knows what can happen. We all remember 2021 when they ripped off 17 straight wins to get into the postseason in 2021. We're coming back. Cardinal baseball is coming up next. I'm Joe Pott, in for Matt Pauly. This is KMOX.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.